It's the Keith and the Girl Show. Hey, it's Keith Malley here. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Show, where my lovely girlfriend and cohort, Hemda Khalili, and I talk about all sorts of different things. But before we get on to that, Hemda is going to show us how we make a firewall using a Linux box and IP tables. So, Jesus.
Hey, fuckers. It's Lumpy. It's 2 o'clock on Friday. Where the hell is the live show? Get the damn thing started already before I get fired. Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us.
Good afternoon.
Hey, we want to thank everybody for listening to our 100th show on Friday. Very cool for everybody to check it in. We did get people, you know, waiting up until 2 a.m. because of the time difference. That was very cool.
There were so many people. People were getting kicked out.
Yeah.
And then couldn't get back on. And supposedly this is going to be fixed for next time. But, you know, that's not the worst thing.
Yeah. And thank you, DJ Quad. I know he was sweating through that because his servers were going to crash and everything. So, very cool. Thanks for logging on.
Very nice. Congratulations. Congratulations to us. Thanks to John Sebastian for the new promo, jonsebastian.com.
Yeah, it fits so much better. I don't know. It was so weird. It's like he decided it fits better, and we're like, yeah, you're right.
Here's his band, Swiss Kiss, on the website.
What is it? It's SwissKiss.com or it's still John?
JohnSebastian.com. I think his band is Swiss Kiss. This is the song, You're Fired.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Here's my story.
I have a problem with it already.
What?
Yeah. Right in the beginning, I'd have Donald Trump go, "You're fired!" And then I'd start the song. That's just me, though.
I could see K-Rock playing that. K-Rock is the local rock station over here.
Right.
I could see them playing that.
Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah, definitely check out his site. That was really cool. He just volunteered to do it, sent it in, and now we're using it from now on. Thanks.
Congratulations to the winner of the poker tournament on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Me?
You're right. Keith Malley was the first to be bumped off. After how long? It was like not even 5 minutes into the tournament. All of a sudden,
we were supposed to have 10 players.
Right.
An 11th player got in there.
We didn't know how, and all of a sudden,
we didn't know how. We didn't know who it is. Everybody's giving them a hard time. I started it.
Yeah, because we should know everybody because we picked everybody.
And I'm so mad at somebody because somebody gave somebody a password.
Right.
You know, it ends up being Michael C's friend,
who helped us out so much. But the guy didn't tell us, so we were ripping him a new asshole.
Right.
We were being mean. We're like, "Who the fuck are you? Get the fuck."
And I'm not apologizing.
Of course you're not.
I'm not, and I'm just saying. But because there's 11 people, we had to start on two tables,
and everyone's all confused.
Right.
Yeah. So now,
am I in the right game?
Right. I'm at a different table. Keith's not there. And Keith and I are IMing each other because we were actually in two different places. He was at home. I was at my parents' house because we had to find another
computer.
So now I'm at my parents' house. I have to explain to my parents why I need their computer when I have a perfectly good computer at home. Because
right.
My dad doesn't know that I live with my boyfriend. I'm like, that computer's being used for something else. And then I told him about the game. And he's like, did you get your brother in on it? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, did you get Mona in on it? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, and he grabs his computer and he goes, well, let me in on it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think we can. And I was so wanting to do it. But
and
all
why,
I
did,
need-
why did you say, like, I got to play poker tonight?
I don't.
I'm willing to come over here. I just gotta play poker.
Oh
tonight.
No, because I told him that I got in on this free roll, so he understood that it was like this table that I can get in on to win. You know what I mean?
Money for free.
But and I wanted to let him in because he got so excited. And all I needed is for him to see that dialogue going on. Like I fucking love Keith and the girl.
Right.
Fuck you guys.
Is it? It was
yours.
A lot of fun. You were on a different table, so you didn't see. I wasn't even in the game for 5 minutes. I lost the very first hand. I went all in on pocket queens,
which is great.
My Michael C can't play, so I give it to my youngest brother Ken because we talk enough about him. He's never played poker before, ever, in his life, okay? It comes around to him. I thought it'd be funny.
Right.
I thought I was doing the right thing, But I thought it was also funny. I went all in on the first hand. Ha ha ha. This will just scare people. I'll take the I'll take the little pot. And if they do play, that's fine. I feel confident enough. My brother with shit in his hand, I don't know, 10 and something else offsuit, just goes, all in. Full house comes up. I'm out.
And then all of a sudden, my table was not where you were, so my table now has 10 people.
Right, and the tables merge.
And it, you know what? And I'm sorry to say this. It was kind of cool that you went out so fast, so this way everybody can be together.
Right.
And then not like 10 minutes later, I'm out.
And that's courtesy Ken again.
Yeah.
And then Ken goes out.
Yeah, but the thing is I was so confused about the whole thing, and call me a jackass, but I could not figure it out at first. All of a sudden, it's my turn. I'm like, what the fuck do I press? I didn't even see what everybody did because it goes so fast.
Right.
I'm also checking out the dialogue. I feel like I want to get in on the dialogue as well. So I'm typing, I'm reading, and it's such a small box in the corner. And at the same time, I'm like, okay, I guess I have decent hand. I'm going to up the thing. And I just was going like nuts, and I don't know if I should have even paid attention to the dialogue, but then what's the fun of that?
Right.
Then you're just kind of like a robot playing the game. So it's a little confusing. I was out second, like, so quickly after Keith.
So Ken, who didn't even... Hey, Ken, do you want to play in this poker thing? If it's free, I guess.
I know, right?
Right?
We could have given it to someone else. Don't do that.
Right, and now he got... Right, and I want to go like, well, never mind.
Yeah,
So now he got $100. All of a sudden, he's into it now.
Oh, that's right, because for kicking us out.
$50 for me, $50 for you.
Oh, my God. And then, and
that's a day's pay.
So bad. So now, Stephanie won.
The winner, very dramatic of you to say it, but
sorry.
Yes, the winner
is... I thought we already said it.
Stephanie O.
Stephanie O, very good job. Now, Stephanie, I loved her because she was talking shit the whole time, using bitches at the end of every sentence, like, what the hell, bitches? Mm-hmm. What do you want, bitch?
Mona asked her, are you fat, all of a sudden?
Well, I spoke to Mona afterwards, and would you like to hear her?
Sure.
Okay, so what she was saying is, we don't know Stephanie, and she's talking about herself. Like, she's like, we don't know Stephanie. Why is she talking shit? These are, you know... she doesn't know who she's talking to, and now she's saying bitches. But I think, in defense of Stephanie, she's heard Mona on our show. She's heard
Absolutely.
Michael on our show, DJ Quad, Andrea, us. I feel like she knows everybody. And I feel like
Correct.
This is a table where you heard of us through Keith and the girl. That's
right.
Like, you know, we're cursing every 5 minutes. We're you know, bitching about everybody. I think it was fair to just rip everybody a new asshole.
Of course it was. And then we're like... And then she's like, what? What the fuck? And then Mona says, I'm just kidding. And then Stephanie O said...
Did she?
Yeah. She goes, oh, I'm just joking.
Right.
And then Stephanie O goes, Mona, are you retarded?
Right.
I'm just kidding.
But in Mona's defense, all of a sudden, she's like, but didn't you say what do you have... what do you have against my brother? Because all of a sudden, she was into my brother. Like, just... cursing him out,
right.
And I just wanted to know, like, if it was a special thing about my brother that she wanted to... Anyway, Mona was just being protective of the people that she knew personally. Good job, Stephanie.
Way to make her cry, thanks.
Oh, stop it. That's not what I meant. Who else? DJ Quad was second place.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he started making just retarded moves.
Did
just
he? Now that cripple's gonna say he did it deliberately.
Yeah, I know. But all of a sudden he and then, you know, Michael
score one for Homo erectus.
Oh God. But we were just Keith and I were gonna go to the movies, but we had to find out what was happening, and we kept, you know, chatting on the board and whatever, and I lost my train of thought.
We were chatting on the board, we didn't go to the movies.
I don't know. So DJ Quad started making these retarded moves, and everyone's calling him out on it. Like, and then even Stephanie was like, are you just kind of trying to give me the game? And then all of a sudden he goes in, he wins a few hands. It was kind of weird for a while, but she really took it.
Mm-hmm.
But he still got to win $75. But $300 was for the first prize. $25 was to take DJ Quad out. So she ended up winning $325.
It'd be $50 to take him out too, but he's like half the size because he's always sitting down.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But as far as they know us, we're always sitting down too.
That's true.
Right.
And
then there was another guy, if we're still talking about the tournament,
sure.
There was another guy that kept asking you if he can get in.
A couple guys.
I couldn't follow the dialogue of this. I'm so retarded.
They would They find out about the poker thing.
And then it's a free roll.
And then it's free roll. So want to get in. Well, obviously the poker thing already started, first of all. You can see that. So you should know it's too late. How do I get in?
You should have said you donate $100.
It's right. It's a thing for Keith and the girl. Okay, I was at the site. Now what do I do? Okay, set up. This guy at thecoolhand.com has some poker site. And I'm like, you have to promote.
You just totally gave him a plug.
No, I went deliberately.
Right.
Check it out.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, you have to promote the show. And he goes, okay, so what do I do? Who cares? Who cares what you do? So then he goes to his site, and it's just a forum. It's just, you know, where you, like a chat room.
It's a forum.
And
it's a forum.
And so he puts a little thing, Keith and the Girl Show, and it says, check out this site. It's awesome. Keithandthegirl.com. Like, all right, thanks for taking the time. And then we just fuck with him for like an hour. Like, okay, how come you have a joke page that's higher than us? And how come this? And how come that? And then
throughout the whole game, Keith is just going, no, I think you need to tweak it a little bit. The colors aren't good enough.
And, and then there'd be breaks, you know, in the poker game. And then like 5 seconds when the game's going to come back, I'm like, okay, you can come in this time. The password is poker. He's like, okay, where do I type it in? Ah, it's too late. Game just started. We'll try to get you in on the next one. And where you have, check this out, guys, it has an apostrophe. Guys shouldn't have apostrophe if you can fix that. And then the next day he never got in the poker thing and he took it down.
Oh yeah, you checked it?
That's not,
took it down?
That's not called promoting, sir.
No.
So big thanks to PokerHost.com.
Yeah, definitely go check them out.
Stephanie O, when we have time, we'll set up a phone interview with her at the least. But she's going to win T-shirts from Ace Kickers. AceKickers.com for your Ace Kickin'est T-shirts. I don't know if they have a slogan or not. And she will also win the Warrant album's Belly to Belly.
Oh, shit.
And Ultraphobic.
Mm.
Yes. Congratulations.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Go, Stephanie.
It's a surprise. Congratulations.
I guess you are his baby.
Mm-hmm.
You are no longer a name for her. You're like my love, right?
Yeah, understandably so.
Right, yeah, yeah.
As our celebrities arrive for today's weigh-in, one team member is conspicuously absent. Hi, and welcome back to Celebrity Fit Club 2. Everybody looks nice today, except Janie.
Hi.
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight.
He's going.
Oh, did you figure out what happened to him, Jackie?
He's AWOL.
She's so distraught.
Mm-hmm. We're a team, one of our team members didn't show up, and that's why I can't lose any weight.
It's true. Like, she was up on the panel, and they go, well, what happened? Well, look at Janie Lane. He doesn't return my phone calls. What is he, your boyfriend?
Right. I only lost 1 pound in at least 2 weeks.
Because there's no team spirit.
Right. It's,
she starts getting mad. She gets so mad at everyone for everything.
And fat people do not look pretty when they scowl.
Answer the phone. He won't return any phone calls I have. He's a mystery at this point. You know, I can't even be angry because
so
I don't
dramatic.
Know what's happening. I know nada.
Does anybody know anything?
I called him. No answer.
No answer. Victoria?
I heard he was locked up in his hotel room and he wouldn't come out.
That's what I heard.
I know how to make handstands.
Can I do one for you?
Handstand time.
Where would you like to sit? As our celebrities arrive for today's weigh-in, one team member is conspicuously absent.
What's the matter? Everybody's pissed off?
Yeah. And everyone is asking, where's Janie?
So drama.
I'm here today for the weigh-in, which really sucks because I didn't lose any weight.
I'm missing a date.
That's why it sucks.
I don't know what is going on. I have no clue what's wrong with Janie.
And then they remind us of what he used to be.
Warrant, Janie was one of the most successful metal stars of the 80s and early 90s.
This is so mean.
When he arrived at Fit Club, he had very little of that rock and roll swagger.
There it is again. By the way, this is like a best of the first two shows.
Yeah.
We're on the third show now.
This is so weird because they always remind us what a rock star he used to be and how shitty he is now, how right. He looks disgusting, how he keeps looking worse.
And they got him to cry, you know, to go, I'm not happy with the way I look, and cry, and now they use it against him.
Yeah.
He used to be a man. Now look at him.
Yeah.
I've been
Remember
really
this song?
With the way I look for a long time.
What up, pussy?
At the first Fit Camp, he made a great impression overcoming his fear of heights.
Once I got up there to the top and hit the button, that was an awesome feeling.
But it's been a series of struggles since.
It's Janie time.
Go ahead.
He was the only cast member who wasn't able to lose weight in the first 2 weeks of Fit Club.
So you didn't lose any weight?
Janie, are you okay?
He seemed to hint that trouble at home might be part of the problem.
He seemed to hint there could be trouble at home.
The thing is, there's trouble at home.
No, actually, all he said was, I'm being sabotaged.
I'm being sabotaged at home.
Being sabotaged.
Donut?
Being sabotaged.
I know he's going through a divorce, and it must be hitting him harder than he thought.
Some of his teammates have speculated that
this is his new stuff.
No.
Far from improving on the diet and exercise.
That was 32 Pennies, one of their great hits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I guess he's singing it with a new band, though. But it was terrible.
Yeah.
Size program, Janie has been looking worse and worse.
I don't rehearse.
There you go.
Janie's weakness, of course, is his abuse of alcohol.
Of course. Harry's just chugging alcohol and his rock friends are taking
away. He let his team down by not showing up for this week's competition.
Where is Janie?
I'm pissed off as usual. I mean, Janie didn't call anybody to notify anybody that he's not going to be here and he's remiss.
Hi.
So disappointed in him.
Then again this morning, Janie failed to show.
We decided that we're going to go over to his hotel room, bang on his door, and drag his white ass out.
That's okay to say.
She was going
to
say sorry,
hey, Janie,
ass.
It's Harvey. Time to come out and play. Janie.
Oh, Janie.
He's boarded up in a room somewhere and he won't talk to anyone.
Waste of sperm.
Waste of sperm.
He's not helping us. He's hurting us.
And they are P.O.
Right. I'm busting my ass for nothing then, you know?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you're busting your ass so you lose weight, you fat pig cows.
You're doing it for Janie Lane?
Yeah.
You want him to be proud of you? I'm busting my ass for nothing.
I'm gonna lose all this weight, and Janie won't even be there to shake my hand when I'm done.
See, I thought maybe they get a bonus. You know, they're obviously getting paid to be here, so I think they get a bonus at the end, whatever team wins. But you're saying they only get a prize.
I think they only get a prize.
Who cares?
Yeah.
They're so dramatic about everything.
They win at the end. At the end of some competitions, they win an exercise bike, right? At the end of one of the competitions, for example. And they go, oh, buy it. Just buy it.
Answering the door now.
He has to commit to the team.
He won't answer the door for his own manager.
He's kind of letting us down because we're all in this thing together.
Janie, where are you? Pick up the...
You know, I feel like something's wrong with Janie. I can't put my hand on it, but there's something scary going on. I hope he makes it.
I hope he's okay.
I feel like there's something wrong. He hasn't showed up. He won't answer the door. There might be something wrong. I feel it. It's like a black woman intuition thing.
So I got the album Down to One from Janie Lane.
It's not Warren. It's Janie
right,
Lane.
It's Janie Lane. Okay. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be hard rocking. And the cover of it is is like chalk outlines of people.
Oh, my God.
And he's the only one standing. So I figured, like, you know, he left his band or something, you know. So,
oh.
Right? And I'm like, oh, that's clever. That's deep. So here's a song from it. It's good. Don't get me wrong. Don't go by my voice. Huh?
Bubba always told me that you get more with honey than with...
Sounds like 1985, to be honest.
Be kind to others because you wouldn't like it if you got hurt.
Jesus.
So why is it...
He just rhymed vinegar with hurt.
Really?
Yeah. And the album's shitty.
You got hurt.
In his defense, maybe it's like a concept album. If the concept is every song sounds the same and every song is a pile of horse shit.
You know, a lot of people made it with that concept. Britney Spears, for example.
Britney Spears is better than this.
Oh, shit.
This is crap.
Nobody cares about me. Why am I alone in this philosophy?
Huh?
That's what I checked out.
Crap. This is Back Down to One, the title song.
I
That's the same song.
Oh, yeah, that's the same song.
Right?
Yeah.
They're all the same song. And then the line in here is, I'm so far down, I'm hearing Chinese sounds.
Mm.
Like he's so far down, his life is so far down that he's through the earth hearing Chinese sounds. And he thinks that's so clever that that's the chorus and it's repeated over and over again.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Where's his manager on that? Where are his friends on that?
Yeah, his friends were warned, and they broke up. Nobody's here to tell him.
It's so sad.
No. You know what? I gave all the credit to Janie Lane. I got to give the credit to the rest of the band now. They talked.
What's sad about that show is he was AWOL, and that's the only reason you watch that show now is just to see him.
They did a album, and this is with Warrant, at least three of the members. Three other members of Warrant that did an album Under the Influence, and I was thinking about buying that. And it's just cover songs. And you know, that's kind of the end when you do an album of cover songs.
Mm.
That's usually the end, you know? Guns N' Roses, I can't think of who else right now. But when you do a whole album, you're like, I'm not even taking the time.
That's true. That's just saying that you guys play well.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's not saying that you write or that you're having thoughts about it. It's just going, here are songs that we like and we think that you want to hear us doing it.
Yeah. So here's a sampling of...
Cherry Pie, the cover.
Right? They did that. I told you they did that.
Oh, yeah,
they
that's right.
They redid all their songs. How dumb.
With one different chord each.
This is Warrant doing Toys in the Attic. The Aerosmith song. Terrible. This is terrible.
I don't know if I know this song.
Here it comes. Toys, toys. Crap. Boo. That's just shit. I don't know this one. Hollywood.
Sounds like the same song.
Yeah.
Jesus. Hey, I hate to tell you this, but, that's what a hairband sound like. That's what a hairband sounds like. They're just kind of rocking it.
Well, they shouldn't. They're taking rock songs, and then you don't. You don't. It's terrible.
But that's what a hairband is. They just kind of take it, and they put their, you know, specially their kind of riff on it. And that's what that sounds like. It sounds like a mess of metal.
This is Warrant doing Hair of the Dog, which, never mind, Guns N' Roses redid it. You know, not a year earlier. That's okay. Whoops. Now you're messing with a son of a bitch. You're messing with a son of a bitch. Now you're messing with a son of a bitch. That sounds real tough. Messing with a son of a bitch. You're a crazy son of a bitch.
Sounds kind of honky-tonk tough.
Yeah.
That's kind of tough, though.
Talking job and poison ivy. That is what it is. It's when they're not just, they're taking a song and doing it in a hair metal way.
Right.
And it's stupid.
You're so disappointed you can't even.
I can't even.
Can't possibly.
Tie your mother down. Tie your mother down. Tie your mother down. Get your fanny out the jar. I don't need you nosing around. Oh. Tie your mother down. Tie your mother down. Give it all. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Sorry, baby.
What a fucking...
Are these the albums that Stephanie's getting?
No. She's getting... I like those two albums.
That she's getting?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to say congratulations, Stephanie. Wow.
How's it going?
All right.
We were in the New York Times, like we mentioned before, and we went out and got the real paper itself. We're on the front page of the art section. We're not, and then and they list the same thing they do in the online version.
Yeah, it's the exact same article, except
right.
In the paper article.
The pictures are cooler.
The pictures are cooler, but it's the same pictures, though, right?
Yeah.
But then in the middle of it, because it doesn't have, like, when you're online, you could just click on something. So they make things into links as they're writing. Here they didn't, so they wrote a list of...
all the links they talked about.
Of podcasts, yeah.
Except yours truly.
What the fuck? I really feel like it's some kind of conspiracy. Yeah. You mentioned us. You talked about
it's
us.
It's like you had to mention us, but that's all you're giving us.
Right, because they said mention the top 10. But is it because we're offensive? Because other people are offensive.
I'm offended by all of them. I saw that Pauly Shore show.
You did?
Oh.
That's got to be terrible. It's not the first one that you saw.
I saw two of them. The first two, yeah.
You saw two?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be horrendous.
It is terrible. It is.
Who's the audience? Who's their target audience for that?
Me.
You doing a show and want to make fun of something?
What do you mean?
Who's the target audience?
Who's going to watch it?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, you, only because you want to make fun of it on your show.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, nobody else is going to watch it unless it's other comedians.
Maybe
because they just want to see how badly Pauly Shore is going to suck.
It's terrible. It's
even the promos are like, what? Why would we watch this?
It's a cross between shit and... I think human shit and dog shit. Cross between that. It's a reality show but it's not, you know, it's obviously set up, but they make it like a reality show. Like if you watched it, you might not know. And
yeah, the promos are like
he's taken over the great comedy store.
And he's got a great idea.
Behind his mom's back. His mom will never know all his plans, you know.
And his big idea is let's get women of comedy, but hot women
of
comedy.
Right. That's one show. The second show he goes on tour with his dad. I guess for 2 days.
Is that a comedian?
Yeah, an old comedian, yeah.
So for 2 days they're on tour?
Yeah. That's the tour. And you see them go into some comedy place, and then you see the marquee, and it's Pauly Shore and Pauly Shore's dad, and three other comedians, and one of the comedians' name is blurred out.
Wow.
Comedians are fucking whores.
Yeah, they are. They go to poetry slams and poetry open mics just to... pretend like they're a poet and do their comedy.
Right.
They'll go anywhere.
To not want to be have your name associated with a Pauly Shore show.
That's some shit. Oh, my God.
Fred Durst is
my favorite
is going to be in the next show. They're talking about something.
Because he's a whore.
Yeah? And your buddy Jeffrey Ross.
No.
Yes. They were talking, so Jeffrey Ross doesn't mind.
No.
Yes.
Jeffrey Ross is great.
Mm-hmm. You worked with Jeffrey Ross.
Yes, I did, actually.
Explain that.
I met him at the open mic that we met, and he knew that I sang, and he did a rap song, Biggie Smalls, I think. No, Dickie Smalls, talking about how he has a little penis. And I sang his chorus. He's got a little penis. And we managed to get on, we did it on Comedy Central. Actually, I was supposed to record it, but I was in California when he was recording, so I missed the opportunity.
But he has it on an album?
Something. He did it. There was a video for it and everything. And then it was on Comedy Central, and Sandra Bernhardt was one of the hosts, and the chef, what's his face, was the other host.
That guy hit on you, right?
Yes. It was really creepy and weird. He's like, I want to make you breakfast. I'm like, okay, you're 100. And I think I was like 20 at the time. Hi.
How'd he hit on you?
Like that,
pretty
much.
Did he say
that?
I want to make you breakfast?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, yeah, my name is... What is it? It's not... Was it...
It's, what's chef's name?
I feel like it's Isaac Hayes, but it's not.
Isaac Hayes.
Is it Isaac Hayes? Okay, because...
Yeah.
All right, so he's like, I'm Isaac Hayes. I'm like, I know who you are.
Right.
And he's like... I want to make you breakfast. You want that? And he like totally like as if he was talking
maybe
on top
really,
of music.
Maybe he just likes cooking, and he meant tomorrow come by and I'll make
you
breakfast.
And then he like hugged me. He like pulled me in, like hugged me, like I'm supposed to be excited by the fact that he's like giving me attention. Yeah. But he totally sounded like he was talking on top of his music. You know how like old school black guys, they're like, hey baby, I just want to let you know that you're the foxiest lady. Now let's get down. Get down.
You guys would have made beautiful music together.
So I did that, and I had his phone number, and I never had the balls to call it because I just wanted to call it to see if it was like really Isaac Hayes.
Right.
But I never called. But I
you
had
call
it.
And he's like, I was just fucking with you, baby.
Beep. So insane.
Here's due to the all the they caught some people in those London attacks.
Right.
Names of two London bomb suspects revealed. Police have identified two of the four suspects. So they'll catch you. They got cameras everywhere.
How did they catch them?
I don't know, but they have a camera in the subway. They have a camera in the subway tunnels. And they put
but
the
you know
times
what?
Together.
That's not going to matter when they blow themselves up.
That's true.
You know? But sorry, I know I'm putting it again out there like the news people that right. we hate, but I don't know. Maybe if somebody was monitoring the, like, where it's not just taped, it's live, but I don't see how it would make a difference.
Right. Well, here's how they're help. This is from the news this morning. Here's how they're helping us in New York be safer.
Right? Oh, great. Okay.
Represents the city's transit workers says in the event of an attack on a subway or bus, its workers would be the first to respond.
MTA workers in New York will be the first to respond.
Okay, to respond by leaving?
Yeah, these idiots. These idiots. I have idiots.
You know what they can't
even... I hate 911 operators, and I hate MTA workers, and I don't know who's worse. Do you know what? And I'll tell you something else about hating 911 operators, okay? I was robbed at gunpoint, and they have attitude. I told this story before. They had attitude over the phone. We could have caught these guys. I knew where I was. I knew...
For the first time ever.
I knew where they were walking to... And I'm like, okay, just get these guys. Well, where are you? Well, I'm walking over here. Well, how are the cops going to get to you? How about we worry about that later? Just get you have to be at a fixed location. Three calls later, same attitude. Yeah, like this is one of the rules or something. You have to be at a fixed location. Well, I'm scared, so I'm going to keep walking.
Right, he's just waiting there for
right,
them to come
right.
back.
Well, I don't. Why don't you call back whenever you're at a fixed location?
To ensure that we don't get them.
So I go, fuck you, and I hung up.
Oh.
And it felt good telling the 911 operator to go fuck herself.
Wow.
I was so mad. I'm like, you can get these guys. Well, combat, what street are you on? And I tell her what streets I'm on, and she goes, I don't see a street here. I don't think that street exists. Fuck you. And you know what? And I know I'm right that they do suck, asshole. Fuck you, 911 operator. Fuck you. Because... You ever see Oprah or any of those shows, and they have the person, the victim, and a 911 operator meet each other, and they say how the 911 operator saved that person's life? Do you know
I've
what I'm
never seen
about?
That, fag. What?
Oh, no. Oh, no. You've never heard of that? You've never seen that? They invite the 911 operator on the show, and they shake hands, and they're like, oh, you did such a good job. If they always did good jobs, that wouldn't be a special episode on Oprah. They never, ever... Fuck them.
How about when they went, okay, was he black or Hispanic?
That was the best. 911 operator said that to me.
Yeah.
That's, I just said I was robbed. Okay, were the men black or Hispanic? Like, well, you wanna think you're fucked up, but they were black.
MTA isn't giving them enough training to handle an emergency, so they took matters into their own hands yesterday.
Oh.
It's a move the MTA is viewing skeptically. Here comes Amanda Farinacci explains.
Know your surroundings. Pay attention to detail.
Oh, Lord.
And observe suspicious behavior. These may sound like obvious suggestions for the more than 35,000 workers in the city's transit system, but some say they're hearing it for the first time.
From the transit authority training, which is basically you see something, run like hell, and tell the police officer.
If you see something, run like hell and tell a police officer. That's their training. That's how they're training each.
Run like hell now is a new thing. Meanwhile, if you see something suspect, I'm suspicious on the train. I'm dressed like a clown.
Right.
With my yellow, you know, whatever, my yellow face painting kit that looks like an oversized lunchbox, my furry purple bag that I can get. I look so suspicious. Right. You're going to run and call an officer about me? I mean, I understand, like, calling, but we're in New York. Like, there are crackheads everywhere.
We have a huge balloon pump.
Oh, yeah.
That you push down with both hands, and that's how the air comes out. And it's a lot easier than pumping on those little balloon pumps.
This balloon pump reaches my chest.
Right.
It's gigantic.
So the top has a
and
tip.
And it's dressed like a rocket launcher.
It looks like a little rocket.
Yeah.
Launcher, yeah.
Yeah.
With a rocket in it. And never been stopped once.
Right.
I'm like, I just want to go, me, look at me.
And I'm on the train, and I'm Middle Eastern, and I'm holding this. Right. Never been stopped.
Right. We're all dead.
Been given booklets, you know.
Oh, and by
read.
The way, they said this is the first time that MTA people have heard that. What was it? The list of like look around, be alert.
Right.
These are things that we learned in grade school
right.
about mugging. I do remember, and I was going to say that, and then they said this is the first time they ever heard it. Well, maybe because they didn't go to school
right.
and they
right.
didn't have that day
How do they get
where the
these
fireman comes
sweet
in
jobs. how do I get these sweet jobs? And it's also their first job because they have so much attitude. You should not be allowed to be an MTA worker until you had at least three normal jobs and you can appreciate what you're getting paid to do. At the token booth, sleeping all the time, not helping me, have an attitude
at the token
when your
booth?
Microphone doesn't work.
This is what we hear. We're like, hey, we're trying to go to Christopher Street. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Just take the train. It's right here. Well, which train, sir? Just any train. Okay, but to what stop? Do you want a token or not? A token. We're still talking like there's tokens.
Sir, do you want a token or not, sir?
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. I'm saying, sir, I'm polite.
The sandwich, sir or ma'am. I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing all kinds of paperwork all day. You know, nobody wants to leave there and read again. You know, we find like today.
Nobody, they have a lot of paperwork to read. And she goes, nobody wants, we already have a lot of paperwork. Nobody wants to have to read again.
You know, we could be more successful, like in a hands-on type thing where we are able to ask questions and
ask questions.
Yeah, that should save my life. You asking questions, ask the bad guys in the face.
The
city's transit workers union says the Metropolitan Transportation Authority has dropped the ball when it comes to making sure its members are properly trained for a terror attack. On the heels of the London transit bombing, Transit Workers Union...
That's so mean to say.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
That everyone is undertrained. What right. the hell are they supposed to... Should we train them now to whatchamacallit, a bomb?
Dismantle,
yeah. In case that it does, you see the light going 10-9-8, just snip the red one, just like you see in the movies.
Well, what they do now is they go up to the bomb and they sigh at it for a good 2-3 minutes.
And the bomb just gets tired and just quits.
Yeah,
just forget it.
Fuck this. let's do some cheerful news. Roanoke, Virginia. Walmart has ditched a program that helped single shoppers find love in the discount store's aisles.
What?
Officials at Walmart headquarters in Arkansas ordered the Roanoke store to put an end to single shopping, the only program of its kind at Walmart's U.S. stores.
Oh, are you serious? Like, there's certain hours that only singles can come?
Taking a cue from Walmart's in Germany, the month-old program encouraged customers on Friday evenings to pick up a red bow place on their shopping carts as an invitation to other singles. Flirt points were set up in various sections of the store.
Where? At the Pizza Hut? In the food court?
Right.
Here's where I'm buying a drink. Do you want to buy it for me? Right. Red ribbon, red ribbon, red ribbon.
Right. You just stand there waiting until red ribbon comes and goes,
so
I'll
terrible.
Take a Coke.
It's like, I'm up for sale. Me, blue light special.
A Walmart spokesman declined to comment on the reason behind the program's cancellation, but customer Dale Firebaugh, who showed up Friday night hoping to meet his match, said store employees told him several people had complained. Of course.
Because
you know what
harassed?
Trash you have there? You don't want those people hitting on you. They don't know how to hit on you.
But
and
you
they
had
would,
a red bow.
They
will You're
right?
inviting it.
Yeah, somebody comes over and you quickly take your red bow off. Like a wedding ring. I'm disappointed, said Fireboss 63. Where can someone over 40 who doesn't smoke or drink or go to bars meet someone?
At a cafe. On the internet.
It's called church.
Church? Church is a good one.
My dad told me that. Why don't you go to church and find somebody nice?
I think lot of people meet at church. If you're a church person,
right,
though. You
right.
can't just go to church to meet someone and then go, but I don't want to go to church. I hope that's okay.
The body of Christ, amen. And you lean over, hey, how's it going?
No, because there are church functions.
Yeah.
I don't think he meant actual church, did he? Maybe your dad did.
Man survived 5 days in a lava field. A hiker got lost near Hawaiian volcano, says he squeezed moss for water.
What? What? What?
Yeah, that's
squeezed
right.
Squeezed what?
A hiker lost for 5 days in a lava field near a volcano says he survived by drinking water he squeezed from moss in a mostly barren landscape.
That's
and here he
impressive.
Is sitting there giving the rock sign.
He looks like Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really impressive.
Gilbert Dewey Something III, 41, was rescued Friday afternoon after a teenager on a helicopter tour spotted him stumbling across the rocky lava, trying to attract attention with a mirror from his camera. Wow. He had been missing since Sunday night, and he decided to take a hike across desolate lava fields near Hawaii Volcanoes Why? National Park to get a closer look
By
at an
himself.
Active volcano.
By himself without letting anyone know.
Oh, thank God he didn't die. We would have lost a good one. The experienced hiker from Austin, Texas, said he saw no water, but there were pockets of jungle-like vegetation sprinkled throughout the old lava flow. Why didn't you take water with you?
I'm sure he'd be out of it by 3 days into it.
Well, that's what happens.
I plan on getting lost. Here's 3 days worth of water.
He said he crawled beneath the vines to lick moisture off trees. Then he found moss growing on trees and was able to squeeze enough water from it to drink. How would you even know to do that?
He's an experienced hiker.
Oh, I'm sorry, right. It was muddy, green, mossy water, but it worked. If I hadn't found that, I'd be dead right now.
And my skin never looked better.
He said tour helicopters had flown overhead all week, but he was unable to attract attention because clouds blocked the sun.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
It's a 15-year-old that spotted him.
And you can't light a fire because you're by lava. Everyone would be like, oh, that's nice. I mean, I guess you can light a fire. But would it make a difference?
I saw the Bad News Bears last night.
I started watching it and fell asleep, but not because it's a bad movie. It's actually a very good movie. I was just extremely exhausted.
Henda goes through these things where she... How do you know? Maybe it's nice.
Oh, it's great.
She wants to do... You're tired. She wants to do something. Maybe doesn't know what she wants to do. Gets you all excited and up and about. And now you're up and about. And now she's tired. Good night. And now you're wide awake.
Well, we were only watching a movie. It's not like I fell asleep at some comedy club I made you go to.
I'm just saying, too. So, very good movie. Very dirty movie.
I can't believe it's rated PG. I really cannot. In like, the first 10 minutes.
In the first 10 minutes, the first bad line is, talking about the kids, don't let these bastards get to you. And I'm like, Okay, maybe bastard is okay. Then, I think in the first 10 minutes, the kid is saying who's on his team. And I've said this before. It's like, a spick, a Jew, a nigger, and... A booger-eating spaz.
Right.
A little kid says this. That's for HBO Family. That's okay. And then...
Because it's rated PG and right. HBO Family doesn't
rated
bother.
PG. Yeah. And then... excuse me. And then later on, they get a girl on the Bad News Bears team. So the kid goes, oh, great. Jew, spicks, niggers, and now a girl. The line was so good, they had to repeat it. They recruit the tough kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
the one who rides a motorcycle. Yeah. How are they going to make in the new Bad News Bears?
He rides a skateboard,
which is so that's not edgy.
Right.
The little kid was riding a motorcycle,
yeah. And the girl tries to get him to join the team. And he goes, "The baseball you guys play is for faggots and old farts who have nothing better to do with themselves." That's okay. And the girl goes, "You must like those guys. You hang around enough." And he goes, "Well, that's because there's nice ass on the field." And he's talking about the girl.
Oh wow.
That's your movie. That's your PG.
There's no way. I wonder if like the new Bad News Bears is going to be like rated PG-13.
It is PG-13.
I knew it. And then they're not going to. There's no motorcycle. There's no little kid smoking a cigarette. Which I don't see how they were going to do that. And if anything,
the N word made that movie, and now they won't be able to say it.
Yeah, there's no way they're saying nigger.
Oh well.
I feel like I have to say nigger because N word I think is more insulting. Don't you think?
I think it's funny that you can say everything else, but even on TV, like you can say spick and gook
right.
and all this.
You can say kike or whatever. But, well, maybe not kike.
Yeah, you can.
You can say kike.
And N-word's the only word that gets bleeped out.
Yeah. Because kikes are not going to write in.
The Daily Show. And some guy was being interviewed, and he was like, you know, say, and something about freedom of speech and how far is too far, something stupid. And he says, you know, if I came on here and I did a show and I'm picking on spicks and gooks, and he names kike and he names everyone, and he goes, and black people. and so the audience laughs. Mm-hmm. Jon Stewart just lets it go. Okay. So that's what's funny. It's like, you know, that's more racist. You can't say the racist
right.
term. But then they go to commercial. He realizes what he did. He comes back. He brings that example up again. Deliberately says nigger. Deliberately.
Shut up.
Okay. Comedy Central bleeped it out.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. What about your... Dominican friend. What's a negative term for Dominicans? Is it just Charlie?
Charlie's.
So what's happening with Charlie down in Virginia?
Charlie isn't happy.
For those who don't know, Charlie moved with his wife and two girls to Virginia to somehow magically get happy. Because when he's away from New York, right, maybe he'll be a better husband slash father.
It's going to be slow. Things will move slower.
Right. And he won't have his friends to hang out with and make trouble.
Right.
So he's punishing himself.
By moving down there with one of his friends.
One of his troublemaking friends who he hires hookers with.
And not getting a job.
He hasn't gotten a job, right? It's been a couple months minimum.
Right.
Oh, God. He almost got his wife fired in her job.
Right. He's looking up jobs. But they don't pay good enough. But it doesn't matter. He just needs something to occupy his time, and he doesn't, and he's bored silly.
And not only that, he can't compare it to New York prices because he's living cheaper down there, right. You know.
He's on unemployment. He gets $200 a week, but that's nothing.
Right.
Even there. Him and his wife don't sleep in the same room anymore again.
That makes sense.
He got a car. He's ready to move out.
How did he get
a car?
How do people get things?
$600.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Still, though, you're making $200 a week. I don't think you would buy a car with gas prices and insurance.
Well, I know. I believe that when they left without paying the landlord, so I'm sure they had no money.
Oh, God.
I'm sure they're not welcome back.
He's the reason why I have to show all my reports when I'm trying to get a place.
Right.
Yeah.
Understandably so.
I have a perfectly good job, but now I have to prove myself to live in this shack.
Right.
Thank you, Charlie.
So he's trying to...
And you too.
Thank you.
Yeah, what I do. Keith Malley. Yeah, also leave places.
I don't like places. That's the thing with me. He's trying to convince his wife, every day, to move out. He wants her to move out with the kids.
Meanwhile, she's the one who got the job down there. Right. She's more stable than he is. Right. He can leave. There's nothing he's leaving there.
So do you want to leave today?
Can you imagine? Good morning. Get out. Please, today.
He's like, just send me a picture of something. I'm so bored. Send me a picture over the computer or something.
Oh, yeah. Every time he catches you on the thing, send me this, send me that.
So I sent him a dog fucking picture. This dog's eating out these two chicks. And he finally gets it. He has dial-up. It's so stupid.
He still has dial-up?
That's so stupid. So it takes like an hour for a 2-second video. And I say, why don't you play... let her catch you jerking off to the dog fucking video over and over again, like many times, and maybe she'll be so disgusted she'll leave, you know? Like, how can she be real mad? You know, obviously she'll be mad.
That's a great plan.
Yeah, just keep jerking off and then go, I guess we don't really know each other.
So should I have taken the hint when you jerked off to eels in the butt?
I'm just saying.
Like, I should have came home 5 minutes earlier. Before you finish, go, oh my God, yeah. I'm getting out of here.
Well, I started to do that trick, but then you took so long, and then I'm like, wait a minute, this is actually working.
See, what if you'd now turn Charlie into a person who likes watching dog fucking videos to jerk off?
I didn't think of that.
That's another thing he needs on his head.
So, he drinks so much now, his tolerance is even higher.
Oh my God, that's really scary.
Yeah, he says he drinks a 24-pack.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
A night, and he's fine.
Oh my God. I drank last night.
You had the champagne.
Champagne to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be our anniversary on Wednesday, mm-hmm. 3-year anniversary, and we just passed the 100 episode. So we thought, I thought in between, just because I wanted to try the champagne, and I don't drink at all.
She doesn't drink at all. She has drank maybe twice, right?
Yeah.
Terrible drinker. Terrible.
And I didn't even drink. I took a couple shots and got stupid.
And just makes up things in her head, like, is something happening? And then she'll really feel something, but go nuts with it. And, you know, we told the weed story. And, but all of a sudden, which is fine.
Well, I like the taste. I discovered that I like the taste of champagne. So, yes, I'm a $2 whore. Mm-hmm. So, everything else, I can't drink fast enough or I can drink too fast. Like, I can take a shot because it's just like a one-time downer thing, but then it hits me too fast. Or if I drink like a vodka and Coke or something, I will nurse that drink to death because I'm not good with like drinky drinks.
Right.
So now here's something that I like. So I was trying to drink it fast enough, and you're still drinking faster than me, and you don't care for champagne. But all of a sudden, something hits, and it's like halfway through the drink, and I start laughing. And you're like, what? I don't know. And then it just stops, and that was the end. What was it, like a 20-second high?
At least a minute.
I was laughing for a minute?
Yes, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right, it was a 1 minute high, and then I'm like, well, doesn't that continue if I keep drinking? No, it never came back. I finished my drink and thought it wasn't worth it, / wasn't worth the calories.
Yeah, it's funny when you just get into these moods. You're like, let's do shots tonight. It's just funny. Why? Let's do it.
And then I don't drink it.
Right. And then it just sits there. Let's open up the champagne.
Well,
no, I'm just saying, no, right. I think it's funny. You've done it before, and it's just
I
funny.
I know, because I leave the shot there, because here's what goes through my head. I could just down it real quick, and then maybe I'll feel something buzzy and cool. And then I go, well, why would I torture myself and drink something that's so disgusting? And then, you know, you kind of think of it as medicine, and then you kind of go, well, I'm not sick, so I don't have to drink this. And then you just kind of give up, and then your boyfriend puts the shot into his Coke and is happy anyway.
Everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
One of Jennifer Aniston's former flings is auctioning off letters, notes, pictures, and other memorabilia.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Michael Barone, a scumbag, a California lawyer who claims he had a summer romance in 1984 with Aniston, is selling keepsakes, such as a makeshift birthday card she wrote on a piece of toilet paper and a childhood picture of the pair. That's when the times were tough. They didn't have money, though. According to Barone, their summer lovin', he was 16, she was 15, turned into a longtime friendship until they lost contact in 1991 when Aniston's showbiz career began to soar.
Oh, bitch. So that's why he's doing it.
Bitch. Aniston's representative, Stephen Huvane, didn't immediately return a call Monday from the Associated Press for comment because he knew his client was a piece of shit. She was very fun and lively, a loving kind of person, Barone told the AP during a phone interview Friday.
He's a nobody, right? He's not like famous
correct,
or anything.
Correct. I think the materials show an innocent look into someone I think is very endearing. Barone's auction begins July 29th on eBay with a $100,000 reserve. What does that mean?
I don't know.
If the reserve is not met, the package of memorabilia will be withdrawn. That's the minimum.
Oh, wow. So he's going to make at least $100,000. Okay.
Barone wouldn't comment on why he was auctioning off the items beyond citing financial reasons. Well, I think he did comment.
Oh, wow.
I don't think there's a lot of other reasons.
So he's admitting that he's just doing it for money?
He's admitting he's a shitty lawyer. The package includes a piece of paper with Aniston's name and phone number written in lipstick. So that's probably his mom's phone number.
Aniston's mom's phone number?
Yeah, she's 15.
I guess, right?
A love letter from Aniston handwritten in red pen. A note written on toilet paper with birthday wishes from Aniston to Barone on his 17th birthday.
Because even back then, she had shitty thoughts of you.
A page from Barone's little black book containing Aniston's contact information.
Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to auction off people's personal information?
Why not?
I'm talking about phone numbers and everything.
A photo of the pair hugging when they first met in 1974.
How creepy is that?
An autographed photo from the cast of Friends. He kept all this shit, by the way.
I keep stuff.
A December 2000...
I don't know why you don't keep stuff. You write about it.
I don't got time for memories.
Well, you write about it. I think that might even be worse.
That's right. It's not worse. It's not worse. I don't know.
It is worse because no matter what...
I can't auction off their stuff anymore.
Yeah, but now you're writing about them. You used to write first and last names. You don't give a shit about people's feelings and what was private between the two of you.
Right. Well, I don't understand the question. A December 2004 copy of In Touch magazine with an article about the relationship and a notarized statement by Barone certifying and attesting to the authenticity of the materials. Can you imagine all the things that a notary public has signed over the years? It's a piece of toilet paper? Yeah, you just have to say it's authentic. I don't even know what that means. It's authentic. Whatever, $2. Give me $2. I'll sign whatever you want. My dad was a notary public.
Was he really?
Yeah, you pay
money. I think I knew that, but...
You just pay an amount. I don't know how much. 100, 150, I don't know.
You have to take a class. You have to pass a test.
You probably pass a test through the mail.
Okay.
So anybody can do it. It's just money. And now you can stamp things for like $2 or $1 or $1.50.
Right.
And that's what he did. So he put a little sign by our mailbox, Notary Republic. Why?
Notary Republic.
Right. Why? Instead of going to like...
Because.
The town, you got to find... You saw us. We're even more in the hicks than the country.
Yeah, you are. You're sitting on 25 acres, so you cannot be close to anything possibly.
I think I'll go to the Mallys to get something stamped.
But you know what he's thinking.
He has all these plans. I don't know what he calculated. He's going to be a millionaire through republicing.
He's thinking that there are what? 5,000, 10,000 people in Somerset.
Right.
If everybody goes to him to get...
Just once.
Done. Right. So if he charges $2, because they might get a cup of tea while he's doing it, there is $20,000.
Yeah. Not one person ever came in the house.
When did he take it off? When did he decide that that was done?
Maybe after the year ended and he'd have to renew.
Oh, you have to keep renewing? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
In January, Aniston and her husband, Brad Pitt, separated after 4.5 years of marriage. She filed in divorce in March, citing irreconcilable differences. Just saying. Just letting you guys know.
Just letting you know that we know everything.
Says Baroni, I think she's very strong-willed, but at the same time, she gives her heart to whatever she does. Like a piece of shit like me. I'm sure the breakup was more his fault than hers.
What?
But I like her. She's a good person. Anyways, bidding starts at $100,000 for her mom's phone number. All right, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you later.
KeithandTheGirl.com.
He's a comedian and aspiring rapper, Jeffrey Ross, with his new hit single, He's Got a Little Penis.
What's up, party people? I got my mind on my wiener and my wiener on my mind. In the dark, mine's hard to find. I was born to my mom's at 8 pounds 5. Then my body got bigger, but my penis same size. Now I use what I got, cause one size fits all. My name is Jeff. The ladies call me Dickie Smalls. Notorious, L-I-T-T-L-E. Break it down. Laugh if you want, mine's cut in half.
Organ, schmeckle, rocket, pump.
When I wear tight jeans, you don't see no lump.
He's got a little penis.
Why it gotta be about inches?
Oh, he's got a little penis.
Whatever. Making love to my ladies, I always make them smile, cause they cool with the fact that I'm hung like a child. My little penis is so cute and sweet. If I made a porno, it'd still be rated G. Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had pubes, before I used a razor.
Mama said, Dad, I'll throw away the ruler.
Other boys are bigger, but you're a lot cooler. The Jewish gangster with a belly getting bigger and a penis the size of a machine gun trigger. Baruch, Atah, Adonai. Wanna pop a cap in all them goys who got a ding, a dong, or bigger than mine. On top of all this, I'm circumcised.
Wiener, wiener, member Willie.
Hides up inside me when it gets real chilly.
Boner, stiffy, carrots all pickle.
Call it what you want, I call mine Don Rickle.
He's got a little penis.
Y'all ain't even trying to hear that.
Cause you got a little penis.
Don't call it a thumbtack.
Dickie, I don't know what you did to me last night, but baby, you rocked my world. I thought fun size was just for candy.
If you got a little weenie, say ho. You got a teeny weenie, say hey ho. And wave your little jimmies in the air and pee like you just don't care. You see me naked at the gym, don't stare.
He got a little pee.
Y'all, I want to tell all the women of the world, from Cali to Carolina, it's not the size of the penis that counts. It's the depth of the vagina. This is Dickie Small saying, less is more, ladies. I'm out of here.
Ha ha ha.